He will. He turns it on a lot at once.
Well, good morning. Find your seat before somebody else does it for you. They will. I've seen some of you. You'll take somebody's seat. That's just how you are. All's fair in a Baptist church when it comes to seating. I really understand that. Go ahead, stand with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Wrong verse. Okay, let's just stop.
Sorry.
We're not going to recover that one, all right? That is not what perfect submission looks like. All right.
Try it again.
Let's try it again, yeah. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Born of His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long. And we will after a somewhat rocky start, but hey, go ahead, encourage somebody next to you, tell them hi, tell them your name as we begin our worship time together. right. Good morning. Go ahead and just be seated. You may have found coming to into this church today, if you're a regular, it to be a little wilder than normal, because by all visual clues, it is. We do not always have shrubbery and wild animals on stage with us. Apologies to the worship team, right there. But yes, we are gearing up for a special week, and so it has been just absolutely gorgeously and uniquely decorated for that particular purpose. So if you're visiting with us, know that we are not looking for a Alaskan motif for our permanent decor, the feng shui of Faith Baptist. But if you're visiting, we're glad you're here. Super glad you're here. We're glad to have you. And so a lot of people are traveling, and some we have, I can tell we've got a few missing people who are probably out seeing someone else, as summertime does give us that, kind of affords us those times to do that. And it's good. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you, opening God's word, praising him today. Always good. And I never take that for granted. Hope you don't either. Please fill out the clipboard. If you're new with us, we'd love to have a record of you being with us. We're not going to send you a bunch of stuff or crazy drawings or free wild gifts or anything. Sorry about that. But we would love to have a record, and we'll have a chance to pray for you. Along those lines, I know that we have response cards. And we want to be able to, you have a chance for you to respond to us as well as us being able to respond to you. We do pray for you. And if you have something specific that you need or would like us to intercede with you and the Lord on behalf of, we want to do that. We want a chance to do that. That's part of why we gather, folks, right? Is to, of all the one another's we get to do, pray for one another is right at the top of that list of the one another's. Don't cheat us of that chance. Don't cheat us. We want to pray with you and for you. So take advantage of that as you're writing those things out. Please be sure to drop those off in the back or with somebody or in the tray. There will be a VBS meeting, the reason for all these decorations, after church today, because it's on tomorrow. Like, it's go time. It is game time. And we're going to have a bunch of young folk in here and some old folk too. But, we are targeting the young ones. And having said that, right, a lot of work has gone into this with, I know, Dusty and Kelsey and that whole leadership team with VBS. In fact, speaking of prayer and VBS, we're going to marry those things together. If you have been tasked, assigned, or roped into being a VBS worker this week, could you please just stand up real quickly so we could see you? We're not going to embarrass you, I promise. We just want to have a chance. As they stand, by the way, stay standing. I just want to pray for you right now, because this is a week where a lot of times we have people who don't always come in these doors, kids who maybe have never heard the name of Jesus spoken in reverence before or the good news of the gospel. So what you do is essential, important, hopefully a little bit of fun. And in amidst all of that, we know that despite our best efforts, right, that it is God who's going to be at work this week. So let me pray for you. God, we just thank you for all of these folks standing, those who on the leadership and those who have volunteered to serve, Lord, serve kids, but to serve you most of all. May they remember that when it's hot and there's a zillion kids running around and they're chasing them. May they remember that it's you that we serve. Lord, we pray that the word of God would be mighty this week as it gets shared in creative and fun ways. May it impact a kid, change the course, the trajectory of their soul this week. Because of you have given us the love of Christ in our hearts, and we're taking a chance to share it this week. So thank you for these folks. And again, Lord, all the planning that's gone into this, we pray that it would go smoothly, but that mainly that young lives would be touched for the sake of the kingdom and the gospel, and you there would be a harvest. So thank you for a chance to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, be seated. We do have a number of things we continue to pray for, missionaries of the week, of the month, I should say. We have those listed in the bulletin. And just so you know, and it's not always said, because sometimes I think we just all think we all know, that some of the things, part of the reasons we don't always portray faces and names as maybe as big as we would like is because we have people that we're supporting that are in places that they can't, that would be a troublesome thing for them, maybe even dangerous. So sometimes we don't mean to be vague or mysterious, we just want to be good to stewards with our missionaries. But please pray for them. Look at those up in the bulletin, as well as the people of the week, the Maxwell family, we're lifting them up. And we already mentioned Vacation Bible School. So along with VBS too, I'd be remiss. I know that amongst the workers who stood up, I know that Dusty said that most of the spots have been filled. There are. She does have a couple needs though, so if you've got a little time this week, maybe a couple hours, a day or two, doesn't even have to be all week, all 3 hours, all day, all week. If you just have some time, please talk to her. I know she's got some things that she would like to be able to fill. So we want to be able to do that and do that well. As we continue on, though, we'll kind of get the family business part out of the way, we want to continue our worship. And as we do that, continuing with the kids' theme, I'm going to invite all the kids, come and get it. Come and get it, kids. You're coming right down here, front row seat. And I know some of you think you're in the expensive seats in the back because you're being raised as Baptists, but these are actually the good seats down here. So come on down, and we want to share with you. You get your own time, and we're excited to do that. So go take that one. It's tight. Pardon the new girl. I don't know who she is, but she's a little stuck.
Well, good morning. Can you guys, do I have to turn it on? I don't know. Sorry. Oh, Jonathan now.
Good.
Well, good morning. I'm glad you guys all came up. I am kind of filling in because our regular person who's going to do it is running late. So you got to be patient with me, and hopefully this will all make sense. So, but mostly, I'm just excited to see you. So I'm gonna do something crazy. I'm gonna put my glasses on and I'm gonna do this. And then Mrs. Bradley has to then read her notes, so she has to put them back down. So hopefully that won't be too weird for you guys. But thank you for coming up. We're talking this week about the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm, I don't know if this helps you, but it's about somebody who uses this for a living. Do you know who might use something like this? It has a hook on the end. Does anybody know? Yeah, who would that be? David does. And this, though, is not about David, but David wrote the psalm about it, and he's talking about, have you ever heard of a shepherd before? That's what we're going to talk about. And our shepherd, he takes care of what? What do shepherds take care of?
Sheep.
Sheep, they do. How many of you have a pet at home? It could be a sheep, too, but will somebody want to, you guys want to tell me what kind of pets you have at home? Oh, good. What do you got?
Cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs. Perfect. Cats and dogs. What do you have? A rabbit, a cat, dog. Man, you have a fun house. What do you have?
Chicken.
And chickens.
I have a cat and a dog.
A cat,
my
a dog.
Dog is like a border collie.
A border. Ooh, that's a good dog to have. Okay, what do you have at home?
I have a guinea pig, a chicken, and 5 dogs and 4 cats.
A guinea pig, a chicken, a dog, and 4 cats. Good
I
golly.
A bunch of chickens.
A bunch of chickens. That's a good to have. What do you have, honey?
3 dogs and 3 cats.
3 dogs and 3 cats. Man, you guys are amazing. I have 0 pets. You guys are crushing Mrs. Bradley. Here's my question, okay? I gotta put my glasses on now. What do you have to do to your pets? What do you
take
have to
care.
Do? Yeah, what do you have to do?
Take care of them.
Take care of them. How do you take care of them? What do you do?
Feed them.
You feed them. Is that what you're gonna say? Yeah, yeah. What else do you do? You give them what? You feed them, you give them water. What do?
Help them relax if they're hurt.
Help them, you take care of them if they're hurt. Absolutely. You guys are crushing this as taking care of your pets. Nice job. What happens when your pet sees you? What happens when you're with your pet? If you're out there, maybe you're gonna go feed them or they're hurt or you gotta give them water, what do they do? Yeah.
My rabbit actually comes like rushing to the door.
Your rabbit rushes to you right to the door because they know what's going to come. Yeah, what does yours do?
I duck when we get back in. My dad is at home. He lets the dogs out. And I have a dog named Luna. She always jumps on me when I get back from a long time.
Oh my goodness. Your dog comes and runs to you and jumps right to you when it gets to be out? I love that. Yeah, what does yours do? What animal do you have? I gotta be honest, I don't even know what.
A
dog. Oh, so when you move the wheel, I gotcha. So when you move the wheel that it's attached to, I gotcha. Where it's going to, it just runs and it knows what you're gonna do. Yeah, it already kind of knows what it's supposed to do because you've trained it so well. What does yours do?
When I feed it, they run after us.
When you feed it, they run right to you, run after you because they know you've got all the food? Yeah, what does yours do?
When me and Elijah run, since my dog is a herding dog, she runs at us and starts nipping us. And she only stops when we're on the porch.
That's a good trained dog. So your dogs, they know you, right? They come to you? Yeah. What would happen, do you think, if you went out and you saw like some wild deer? What do you think the wild deer would do if they saw you? Would they run to you, do you think? Or what would they do? Yeah.
Run away.
They would run away. Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. What do you think they would do?
They stare at you and then run away.
Yeah, stare at you and then run away. Absolutely. What do you think they would do?
So when we passed them, they were just like...
Yeah. Yeah, they just are watching you, looking at you like, who are you and what are you doing? I don't think I'm going to go to you. Absolutely. Do you know that that's how it is with Jesus? Because he is our shepherd. And that's what Pastor Rob's going to talk about. He is our shepherd. And guess what we are? We are the
sheep.
We're the sheep. We are absolutely the sheep. And the cool thing about that is we get to know our shepherd. Pastor Rob's going to talk about being a shepherd and how we get to know his voice. He actually feeds us. Does Jesus actually give us like grain or things? How do you think Jesus feeds? I know that would be weird. He doesn't give us grain. What does he give us? Do you know what he gives us to feed us? What does he give us?
Vegetables.
You know, he does give us protein vegetables for us to grow like our bodies. You're absolutely right. You're right. But in our heart, what does he give us that makes us maybe know and grow him, grow to know him more? What do you think, sweetie? He gives us the Bible. Yes, both of those are absolutely right. He gives us food so we grow, and then he gives us the Bible because he's an amazing shepherd. So we can get to know him and follow him. Yeah, what do you think?
Love.
He does give us love. And what do we get to do with that love? Do we keep it, and then do we sometimes share it too?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have the best shepherd, and we get to know him and know his voice, just like your animals know you. If I went to your house, your animals wouldn't come to me, no. But Jesus is so cool. All of us get to go to Jesus, our shepherd, and we get to know him, and he feeds us and takes care of us. And then we have this fun little song that we're going to sing, all right? You guys have good imaginations. We're going to pretend this is a staff for a shepherd, and then somewhere in my house, I don't know where, it's in a box, but I can't find it. I do have a little tiny sheep. But I do have, because I'm a teacher, I have Llama Llama. So Llama Llama is going to be our sheep, and Miss Terry's going to come up and help us sing because Mrs. Badley doesn't sing. Miss Roberta asked me to lead a song, and I said, sure, and then I went, why did I do that? But Miss Terry's going to help us. Some of you may know it. It's an oldie but goodie. It's The Lord is My Shepherd. I'll walk with him all ways, and it's going to stick in your brain. I'm not going to lie. I can't stop singing it. It just goes and goes. Hopefully you'll know it. Miss Terry's going to teach us to us, but we will learn about what we get to do, who we are, and who Jesus is, and then what we get to do. We get to follow him. There you go.
Good morning. Can you guys stand up? Because from here, you're going to get to go to class too, okay? So maybe the adults, you know what? We're going to be sitting for a little while, so maybe we should stand up too. How many know this song? The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. Don't know. Well, okay, so after we sing it once, I'm going to ask you another question, and we're going to go from there, okay? You guys know this song? So it goes like this. And Miss Badley's going to help me. How's that? Okay? So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. Now, how many of you have ever heard that song? If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying because you just heard it. Okay, we're going to sing it on our way out. Okay, here we go.
The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always. Always, always, I'll walk with him always.
Thank you for your participation. You may be seated. You'll probably stand again, but you may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Good. As the ushers come forward, I'd like to pray for the people of the week and also the offering. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, I just lift up the people of the week. I just ask that you'll bless them and protect them and make them bold for you, God, and use them this week, and just let your light shine through them for others. I just ask that you will bless this time and open our hearts up to Pastor Rob's message that comes from you. Just prepare us and help us accept what he has to say for us. I just pray for the offering. I thank you for the many blessings that you pour out on us. Individually and also as a church, how you provide for us. I just ask that you will give us discernment on how to spend these funds and tithes and to further your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are going to visit our passage this morning. We have a special reader with us, as usual, as always. So please stand up as we turn to Psalm 23, and Mackenzie leads us.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Great passage. I can't wait to get into that. We're going to sing, though. We're going to sing some of those truths into our hearts as we prepare for that. One of these is a new song here, but it's not that new because your guys are sharp that way.
Mm-hmm.
my Savior loves me so, He will hold me fast. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter will prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hope through life's fearful path, for my love is often told, He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those He saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in His holy sight. He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by Him at such a cost. He will hold me. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with Him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight. When He comes at last, He will hold fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold.
Hope that song is creeping its way into your hymnology in your head. I love the words of that song. It tells such a great story about what God does for us, the things we're going to learn here as we continue on in Psalms 23.
Of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice, You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. From the moment that the Father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Good. It's good to be able to reflect, right, and to think about God's goodness. It should bring song to us. It should bring song at least to our hearts, even if we can't sing it all the time, right? Because it's a good thing to look back, and there's a, and I like this next song. It's a sweetness to that. And again, we want this to be our song, this to be our core truths, our convictions of our heart that really do make us sing. I hope this is true of you this morning as we sing about the Lord and the sweetness of trusting in Him.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus. To trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I trust Him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious. precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust.
Lord, give us that grace today. Give us the grace, Lord, to trust You even more than when we walked here, when we drove here, when we all the pressures of life were still fresh in our minds. God, may we have the grace to trust You more. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead. Please be seated. We are looking today at what may well be one of the most famous, if not maybe the most famous, or at least recognized passages in all of our Bibles. I say that because as we're preparing, and I know what I'm preaching on ahead of time. I know it doesn't always seem like it, but as I was preparing for Psalms 23, even a week or two ago, I was had the TV on, and I was kind of done with that, but it never goes away, just like Psalms 23 was just right there. And I was watching a cop detective kind of TV show, nothing horribly, wasn't anything really sanctifying, wasn't watching any old John MacArthur tapes or The Chosen or anything. It was just a cop show, all right, coming clean with you. And just kind of zoning out, and I was struck because as the to get into it real quickly and then out, I'm watching this funeral scene, and somebody, one of the key characters' grandmother had died, and it was very sad, and he was very struck, and his daughter, his would have been her great granddaughter, was up trying to struggle through the eulogy, and as a preteen, like a young kid. And she's just struggling because she had lost her grandmother. And it was, again, it was pretty touching. And her father, who it was actually in the show, he was one of the bad guys. He was his character was a inner city drug dealing, flagrant homosexual. He had the whole regalia. It was very much a picture of everything that you wouldn't see in a church, unfortunately, right? But he's at the funeral too. It's his grandmother, and he walks up and he gives his daughter a hug, like about right here, and he turns to the camera and he's got tears in his eyes. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going to happen now, right? And he starts quoting Psalms 23. That's all he says. As he holds his daughter, he just turns to the camera and he's like, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I'm like, caught my eye, right? I'm thinking, oh, this is interesting. And he went all the way through it. And it was it's a detective show, right? I mean, I wasn't watching this for any edifying program, but I was just struck by the fact, right, that here in the middle of a regular old cop show, that he dropped Psalm 23 on us, like, right in the middle of that, and it was super powerful. And of all the people who would have had Psalms 23 memorized, had I asked you to do that by heart, how do you have done today? If I had said, hey, you come on up here, let's a little pop quiz, right? I was like, wow. And I just sat back to myself, and I thought, wow. The
the range of God's word and how impactful, I mean, all scripture is impactful. Don't hear me say I'm not ranking things here, but there's just really no denying the fact that Psalm 23 has a special place, I think, in both in the canon of scripture and quite frankly, culture. To the extent that a completely off the rails drug lord, you know, can do that in the middle of a TV show, and it has the impact that it did. You've heard it in a funeral, probably. You've heard it. You've heard it maybe even put in, you know, different places. And I hope you do have at least some of that memorized. It's a great passage to have kind of in your pocket, kind of have close to the vest. I know for myself, there have been times when I've been maybe in a hospital room or at the scene of an accident as a chaplain, and I just didn't know what to say. And you're thinking, Rob, is there ever a time when you don't talk all the time, right? There are those times, you know? And there have been times when I'm like, all I could do was say, can I just read Psalm 23? I've done that. It's powerful, even in dark places. And as we think about Psalm 23, we want to continue to experience and connect with the Lord. I hope you're having some progress with that as you think about your own walk in these Psalms. I know it's been good for mine. And the big idea today is, and we've got that, is you can praise God for His guidance and protection, trusting Him as our great shepherd. That's a powerful thing. I say that as a city boy who's never, I've seen sheep, and I've had friends with them, but I've never raised them. You know, last week we talked about Psalms 22, and it's not like they're connected, you know, in terms of like actual writing, they weren't maybe together. But in 22, he saw how the psalmist responds in a very real way, in a very hard way, and sometimes in a despairing way, right? Like the last psalm was this cry, like, what is going on, Lord, right? This takes an entirely different tone, but we still want to be transparent as we do these things, because again, we're going through the psalmist not just because we're traipsing down, you know, kind of favorite passages lane. We want to learn how to respond to God better. I want us, that for us as a church, and we want to learn. Our God has got to become bigger in our lives. He's got, and I don't mean that I'm making Him bigger. I have to recognize, because unfortunately, time and time again, when I talk to people about their struggles, their struggles are big, but they have forgotten how big God is. That is always a primary concern in counseling and discipleship. Our God can unfortunately seem distant or small. He is not. He is big. And then, of course, the idea is then, how do I, as a believer, as a Christ follower, how am I supposed to, with those things in mind, how am I supposed to go, oh, this is the appropriate response. What do I do with that? Sometimes, and please hear me, I long ago gave up trying to impress people with the academic side of things and all the cool little, you know, biblical ditties that you think you pay your pastor to go to school to learn. And it's, don't get me wrong, like, I love it when somebody says something like, I've never heard that before. That totally blew my mind. There's this weird little, probably pagan part of me that giggles and like, yes, I got one in. But the bang for your buck and what you need from your pastor is somebody who helps you learn to respond in a real way to your God. That's where the rubber meets the road for us every week, not just in the Psalms. We could be in the middle of Ezekiel, and that would be the point. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is so much to be had here. So much. I panicked a little bit how long I could go today.
And you're thinking, I should just leave now when he's looking away. It is so rich. Like, there could be a psalm series, really, on Psalms 23. I'm not going to do that to you today, I promise. I promise. But today, I want us to take a good hard look at just a little bit at what it means to be, to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We will touch on some of the other things, but we're not going to wring them out like I would love to do with you for all of its richness and for all of its goodness. It is so rich. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I did have all the verses here. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and in my cup it overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is looking to the Lord, and he's using a very common analogy in ancient Near East. They would have understood in a way that urban Rob and maybe even, you know, third millennium, you know, American people don't think of when they think of shepherding, because that was a way of life for them. It was a way of life for Israel, for ancient Near Eastern culture. And even if you, and it wasn't because they were like raging FFA people or were going to auction, right? You had to have sheep and raise animals because that was how you lived. It was subsistence, agrarian farming. And sheep were part of that deal. And in Palestine and in the middle, ancient Middle East, and in that area we're talking about where there's the God, you know, all the things you see in the news, right? Gaza Strip, all that stuff where all the Bible stuff actually happened. It's rich in many different ways, but one thing they would have known, whether you were from Egypt, Africa, or even, you know, in Jordan up in the north, if you were from the land where Iraq and Iran is, they would have known, when you start talking about shepherding talk, they would have known what you're talking about in a way that we don't. And in fact, the Bible is very rich in this imagery. So if you're thinking, I don't really care about sheep, Rob, get on with it. You need to understand, all over your and my Bible, he talks in this metaphor. He talks in the metaphor of sheep, shepherd, and both in reference to Jesus, the chief shepherd in the New Testament, to, of course, all of these things where in the Old Testament, many times the prophets would look back and a prophet like Jeremiah, some of the minor prophets who were kind of cutting, and they'd be getting on the religious leaders, and they'd say, you bad shepherds who starve your people and watch your sheep wither. They would talk about shepherding in negative terms, about you guys are lousy shepherds. In the New Testament, Jesus, of course, comes in the most famous passage is John 10, where he says simply, hey, guess what? I am the good shepherd. And he goes on to really develop what it means to be a good shepherd. We're going to reference that a little bit. But when David, of course, thousands of years ahead, before the time of Christ in John 10, when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's saying some things very particular. David's expressing a confidence in Yahweh, the shepherd king. And that's the way Israel's God was often portrayed in Scripture, in the Old Testament. He was a shepherd king. We have different pictures of God sometimes. And there are different metaphors, but that's probably the most consistent one in your Bibles, my Bible. Shepherd king. And again, I realize I'm sitting here. I'm going to talk to a bunch of people who are ranchers. I'm going to talk to them about shepherding. How weird is that? And there's a difference between ranching and shepherding. There's overlap. But there's a reason why David said, the Lord is my rancher, I shall not want.
And in ranching and shepherding, that was a picture that probably 30 years ago when I started into ministry, there was some popular books that came out because churches, as they were getting bigger and mega churches were coming onto the scene, and you were seeing churches that went from tens and 20s to 100 to maybe to thousands. And then you had arenas filled with people, and they called that church. And so there was a lot of literature written about churches to pastors saying, don't be a rancher. Don't forget you're a shepherd. And what they're saying is, hey, there's something different. There's something much more intimate. There's something much more relational, much more personal about what it takes to shepherd than it does to ranch. And again, who am I to tell Eastern Oregon folks about ranching? Some of you have lots of critters, lots of cattle, right? And I remember I actually was talking to a rancher among you today. I won't embarrass him by calling him out. But he was telling me the difference. Like he goes, and he basically said, you have to be over a certain size before you don't get laughed kind of out of the bar by calling your little spread a ranch, you know? And he was talking about the size of his ground and how many animals he had. And he goes, but really, he goes, at a certain point, if you're calling your 100 cows a ranch, he goes, there's some people chuckling in the background if they're calling, you know. You got to be over, in his estimation, a certain amount. And yeah, that's great. I guess if you're in the cow business, the more the better, right? But one thing for sure is, again, the thrust of the analogy is, if you've got 1,000 or 10,000 herd in your herd, those are the guys who are using helicopters, you know, to get them to turn and go places and are having to do things on large scale, and they could not name one of their cows. Like, they might brand them, but there's no intimacy in that. There's no relationship. There's no, like, they hear my voice to that. That's the difference between a shepherd and a rancher. Not to disparage any ranchers among us, okay? And if you know all your cows by name, God bless you. You're a good person, all right? But that's the way shepherding went. And he said, you know, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we stole the rod, didn't we? Yeah. And I think we always think about like a, and this isn't my, this is the, what I used to keep snakes away at my house. Sometimes we think about something like this, but a Palestinian shepherd, for him, his rod and his staff, the rod was a shorter version of this with kind of a cudgeled end of it, and they would embed pieces of iron in it. It was more like a mace, his rod. Okay, that was a weapon. And he wasn't some gangly kid on his first job, like that was the first century version of McDonald's for teens. He was out there, and he was kind of a warrior. He was kind of, I mean, he might have been young, but this guy was looking to kill wolves and lions with his rod. And he didn't have a shotgun in his backpack. He had no back. I mean, that was what he had, right? An iron laden rod. As a matter of fact, when the Old Testament says the rod of judgment or the rod of the Lord, that's the picture of that, the shepherd's rod. His staff, of course, was a curved thing, and our kids learned that, and that was for guidance, and that was a longer thing, and it was also as a multifactored both weapon and tool. But one of the things they did that was kind of an intimate thing is as they would feed them in a place, the shepherd, he trained them, and he would hold his staff over them, and the sheep would kind of come, and as they would, he would take them from their pasture land into another area. He would hold his rod over, and they would go underneath it as he was taking them somewhere else. And that was his cool shepherd way of counting them and speaking to them and them responding to them. So when Jesus says he left the 99 to go get the one, it wasn't because he had him chipped, right? And he looked on his reader on his phone. It was because he knows, just like a shepherd in Palestine would look, and he'd be going, uh-huh, and he'd be going underneath. And then he'd be like, wait, you know, where's Bessie, you know? And the sheep got trained to know him, and going and being counted became part of the relationship, just like they did with his voice. The shepherd knows his sheep. And I always think about that when I think about how Jesus knows us, and of course that's the point of today. And this is the difference, because you think, well, am I sheep? Am I a good sheep? Am I a goat? What am I? Am I a shepherd? You know, what's in this for me? Jesus, when he said, nope, got to skip ahead here. He goes, I'm just going in circles. Okay. Why am I going backwards? Okay. In John 10, as I was mentioning, though, Jesus is talking to people, and as he's talking to them, they're understanding the shepherd analogy, but at the same time, they're super confused, like many times people were, right? In John 10, Jesus looks at the religious people, and they would have thought themselves in Yahweh's pasture, by the way. Like, hey, we are the original sheep. Like, we are the ones. And they're wondering, and they're not getting it in John 10. And I wish we could stay there longer too. But he says, they're looking at him as sheep, and they're kind of scratching their head, and they're like, they're not responding. When it sounded his voice, they're not the ones who are lovingly going under the staff, you know, to be counted as one of his. They're like saying, who's this guy? Jesus says, you don't believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and know, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, sometimes, and if you need some devotional stretching, because this is kind of what I did, you could literally like take that first verse and so say, the Lord is my shepherd, and take a week and think about if you were to just like put in bold each word on a different day. Not so much the, but you know, the Lord. Again, you can say that with, the Lord is my shepherd. Not some chump, not some hireling, not some guy working his way up the corporate ladder. The sovereign God of the universe is caring for me. He's my shepherd. He's the guy who knows my name. He's the guy who notices when I'm struggling, who knows when I'm sick, who knows when I'm too far out there. The God of the universe, who keeps track of all the other molecules and all the other nations and all of, you know, Rolene's problems and all of Doug's stuff and all of, you know, Raquel's things. He's the God who's doing that, still bothers to shepherd me. He is. He didn't save me and leave me. He is my shepherd. What does it mean for him to be present tense shepherding me now? I don't know. I'm going to go out Monday tomorrow. Is he going to shepherd me tomorrow? Well, he didn't say the Lord was a shepherd. He is. He is my shepherd. There is a relational component. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just a shepherd, not just the good shepherd, all good things, by the way. I'm not saying that sarcastically, but what the psalmist wants you and I to be awed by a little bit is the Lord isn't just somebody's, he's yours. He's yours. There's ownership there. There is familial relationship there. He's my shepherd. It's one thing to say somebody important is our ruler. Hey, he's a king. It's a different say, he's my king. That matters. Relationship matters. Possession matters. The Lord, and then again, of course, the Lord is my shepherd. So many things, again, to be had. These are the things that plague a pastor's mind when he reads Scripture, by the way. But it's so rich. It's so rich. I tell you, sometimes Christianity, the gospel, all those things that we see in the Bible get thrown under the uncomfortable umbrella of religion. I've probably been guilty of even saying that things like that. But I tell you this, the expression of this verse, the power of it is that your faith is primarily a relational thing. So I go back to that word, my. The Lord is my shepherd. It's one thing for me to say there is a God, but to say that my God, that is an entirely different matter. Nobody ever is going to get to heaven by recognizing that there might be something out there. It's the gospel is all about when you come, and by the way, we come looking for answers, looking for truth, and we don't find that in institutions, we don't find that even in just kind of nice little sayings or tracts. It says, man, we come and we're looking for life's meaning. It's not a self-improvement plan. It's not for enlightenment. It's about Jesus. It is about knowing the Good Shepherd. I want to encourage you this week, if you got a few minutes, read John 10. Because as we read David, we can say, oh, that's nice. But man, when we read John 10, we know who he was really talking about when he said that. It is about Jesus for us, for you and I, knowing him, learning to what? To follow him, learning to do what they did not in John 10, learning to hear and respond and trust his voice and his lead, to obey his direction. That is what being a Christian is all about. And if you are new with us today, new to the Bible, never been in church, never paid attention, and if you think that all of this is about keeping commandments, wearing something special, not doing certain things or doing them, can I just encourage you that is not the thrust of what this is all about. That is not it. It is about knowing our shepherd. Because there's a lot of folks, I think, that are just chomping their way through life's pastures, quite frankly. They're open range sheep. Just eating what they can. Getting what they can, right? Nobody to lead them. Nobody to guide them. Nobody to care for them. Just hoping for the best. And quite honestly, that's where our world is. They're just eating what they can as fast as they can, hoping for the best, and wondering what in the world happens when it doesn't come out like they think it ought to. And only God's revealed word is gracious enough and bold enough to say, guess what? Yes, you are grazing through life's pasture. Guess what? There's a shepherd. There's a shepherd. Maybe you have a thought. Maybe it was about being born into the right family, being baptized as an infant. Maybe you think it's about, again, like just keeping a list of rules. And sometimes we get into that stuff. And yes, the shepherd has given us direction, and that is in his word. But sometimes we think that's the shepherd. It's not. It's primarily about what? Knowing and trusting Jesus. Because Jesus says, guess what? If you know me, you'll hear my voice. You'll hear my voice. And by hear in John 10, it's not like, oh, he's talking to me. It's, oh, I need to do that. I am compelled to do that. As a sheep, to hear his voice is to do what has been directed. As I was reading up about shepherding in the Old Testament, a commentator who had spent years as a shepherd, Philip Keller, it's a great book, he said for 8 years he raised sheep, and what they would do is they would use different voice inflections, and they would be, by the sound of their voice, their sheep would know if it was time to eat, time to go, time to do whatever. And the crazy thing was, Sheep are not known to be the most intelligent animals. Which is part of why maybe you find yourself offended when you're thinking, did that dude just call me a sheep? Like that's kind of an insult, right? If I were to say in any other context, oh man, people at Faith Baptist, just a bunch of sheep. You're like, what? Are you talking to me? Yeah. Part of it's how you say it. Part of it's what you mean by it, right? When the world says you're a sheep, it means you're thoughtless, you're stupid, and you're gullible, amongst other things. I think that's what they mean. You're Rob, you're just a sheep. But when Jesus says, Rob, you're my sheep. Well, that has a totally different vibe to it, as the kids would say. Different ring. Those who walk by faith with Jesus, those who trust Jesus Christ and his shepherding provision for my sins and for my life. Here's the crazy thing about this whole picture, right? Is he's not just the good shepherd of John 10, he's also the spotless lamb. The reason why we can trust the shepherd is of John 10 is because he knows what it's like to be a sheep. He knows what it's like to have to trust his heavenly Father and walk this earth and be hungry and be tired and get beat and chased around a little bit and get tempted in all of these fleshly ways. Your shepherd knows the life, the hard life, the gritty life, that dirty, unmentionable things in my hooves kind of life, right, of a sheep. Your Savior knows. Your Savior knows, as your shepherd knows. That's why, amongst a whole host of other reasons, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and yeah, that's my guy. That's my shepherd. Shepherds know their sheep, they respond, and the sheep respond to the voice of the shepherd. A stranger could have walked into a flying sheep. They could have walked into a herd of sheep and started yelling the same commands, and it would have had little to no difference. Probably would have just scattered them because it would have been confusing. Because they were the religious elite of John 10, who was like, who is this Yahoo? Think he is. And thousands of people were following him, right? They weren't, and they were a little bitter about that. Who is this guy? And he goes, guess what? I'm the good shepherd. You know why you're not following me? You're not my sheep. He didn't say you're stupid. He didn't say you haven't been to enough of my seminars yet. He didn't say you didn't pay enough. He just said, man, you don't get it because you're not mine. Sheep respond, why? Because they know that his words are providing words. They are words of feeding and care. That's a quick nod to the rest of the psalm, right? He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Quick note on that. A lot of commentators have thought that for some reason David switched metaphors from the shepherding thing to all of a sudden being a king in a grand hall with a big banquet. No. Much more natural way to look at that is a shepherd goes ahead of the flock and he finds out where the good pastures are. And good pastures are not places where sheep are tumbling down the hill because there's a bunch of holes and it's really steep. It's a nice tabled meadow. It's a nice mesa on a hillside that might be filled with rocks and crags and rivers and streams and boulders all around the side. But there's this what? Nice flat ground where a bunch of sheep can go in and munch to their heart's delight. You prepare a table before me, he says, in the presence of mine enemies. Oh. Because you know what's in the woods, by the way, at the side of the meadow? You know what's waiting for you in the ravine? Wolves. Predators. And the shepherd is trying to say, guess what? Even in a very dangerous world, because sheep were getting picked off all the time, he said, guess what? The good shepherd, I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to if you follow my word, if you follow your shepherd and stay here, you're going to be okay because I'm watching the fence line. I'm watching the shadows of the brush. I'm watching where that wolf is behind those rocks. And he goes, I prepare a table for you right in front of your enemies. I'm still going to feed you. What a great word for you and I. Again, that's a whole other sermon. I got to stop. But as we think about this, just a couple of things for you and I, some sheep realities, some things for us to be sheepish about, all right? I know, it's late in the day for that, but you got it anyway. As we go, can I just encourage you? We are sheep, and here's some hard things about that and some good things. The thing about being a sheep is we're not self-sufficient. That might offend your pride, your sensibilities. It might seem demeaning. But a sheep reality is this, is that God knows that you can't save yourself. God knows you can't really sustain yourselves by yourselves. You were never created from the very beginning of Adam and Eve. Mankind was never created to be independent. It was sin that brought independence. Think about that. Every man in the room winces a little bit because they like to think, it's nice to be independent. Aren't we? Didn't we just get through 4th of July, Rob? Come on, But as sheep, we just have to recognize this and we are all the wiser for it. If you and I recognize, I'm a sheep, guess what? I need more than me. I need more than what I can produce and inspire. I need more to my life. I am not self-sufficient. I'm a sheep. What I need is outside my ability to acquire. You need provision. The strongest, most resourceful person in this room, you're thinking, I could walk out in, I could just like take off through the tundra of Eastern Oregon with nothing on my back and I'd be just fine, Rob. I could go on Survivor right now and I would be fat and sassy. No. You would need something. You would need provisions. You would need stuff. And eventually you would need help. We are not. That needs to bring us somewhere spiritually. We're also not self-guided. We need direction. And I don't mean you don't have ideas. I don't mean that people aren't creative. I don't mean that God does not even inspire some people to go and do certain things. I don't hear that. Some of you are so smart, I feel like I'm picking on you when I say that, right? Some of you, no, you're all smart. You all can give yourself some direction, but when it comes to life's meanings, when it comes to the core realities of what it means to be a human being in this world, in a created world, you cannot give yourself that meaning. God has, though. And he cries out, he says, you know what? You're a sheep. Let me shepherd you. Let me shepherd you. Let me provide for you. You won't always know where the pastures of life are. You won't always know where the wolves might be. You may not always know that plant is not poisonous. You're going to need some guidance. You're going to need some direction. Are you there? Finally, one more thing about a sheep reality is we're herd animals. Again, we take our cues from fellow sheep as well. We're influenced by them. In the shepherd's book I was reading, he says, a bug could go in or like a little swarm of gnats or whatever could start chewing on one of the sheep and they would start bucking around, snorting, trying to keep it from laying eggs in its ears and nose, right, and just make a mess out of it. And they would go nuts, and the rest of the sheep would just get agitated, and they'd start doing the same thing, even though they weren't having the problem. Herd mentality. Oh, Rob, that doesn't happen in America. Really? Right? We respond to weird sheep happenings all the time. Not just on Facebook, but that's a horrible, horrible reminder, right? Man, it's like, we're not animals, but I say, as people, God created us to live in community. We are meant to live in a herd, even though sometimes you need some alone time. I get that. Some of you are like, oh, man, I'm such an introvert. And you kind of are. You're quiet. I get it. But I know you got somebody. I know you got your people. And you were created. You were created to live that way. We are not by nature people or creatures who prosper outside of community. That's what, again, why part of what the shepherd says is, guess what? I keep my sheep. You're together. That's the great thing about being part of a flock. Well, in fact, in the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples what he said, feed my flock. You know? I mean, could I be the guy who just like answers all of your email and answers your questions or does and goes and brings you communion individually? I suppose we could, but that's missing the point. Part of being Jesus' sheep is we enjoy his shepherding through under-shepherds like your elders and me. We get a chance to help us all experience the life of God's flock. And there is great joy in that. Because, by the way, sheep don't just learn how to be weird, crazy, and stupid by other sheep, but they also learn the good things about being part of the flock. I want to end today with a picture. Forgive the picture because it looks like just a bunch of blobs probably from there. But I got a chance to go over and see the Bakers this week. Got to go over and I've driven past this a zillion times as a West Sider, but I'd never got to actually go down into this Ronald McDonald House where they're staying, you know, and for those of you who don't know, That's me, the ugly one on the left, but my wife. And then there's Noah, Hallie, and Taylor, and Heather Baker. So we got to spend about an hour with them. And that's the river overlooking Portland. You know, it's kind of like in the midst of a place in Portland where you pull off and you're thinking, am I going to be dodging, you know, feces and drug dealers down here? In the middle of that, you know, there is a table that God has prepared to eat in the presence of his enemies. And it's kind of Ronald McDonald House. It's this really nice little area, right, where they get to go, and they showed us around. And it's a place where there's games rooms where they can. They make things comfortable. They have eating areas and cooking areas, and they have things they can do for them. There's a lot of care. What a great facility. But that's not what this is about. But I say it was super instrumental for me because I probably know the Baker maybe less than 90% of you because I'm the new guy. But what a pleasure it was for my wife and I to go and just get to know them a little better. And again, you know, you're in this weird setting. And a couple things stuck out to me as I was still processing Psalms 23 in my mind, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking, I need to visit the Bakers, and it's a good thing. I'm looking forward to this. It'll be great. But what I didn't think of is how much it would play into Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Because as I talked to them, got to know them better, hear their story more, and, you know, I do need to get an update here, right? Because they're doing better. They're doing well. It's always day to day, right? So to slip the nuts and bolts update here as I finish up, they're going to be there at least probably through August, and he's part of a apheresis, you know, procedure where he's getting twice a week, And they're really hopeful, and it's promising that his kidneys are going to catch up, and he's going to be able to have to be able to really kind of endure and also just move on, right, and come back home. So they're hopeful in ways that they were maybe not hopeful before. And the crazy thing was, as we're talking about those, I'm asking him some of those, you know, medical nuts and bolts questions because you just feel like you need to know. Heather was able to relay to me, as were the girls and Noah. They said, you know, but since we've been here, we really just feel like God has had his hand on us. And they've had days where they thought that might have been it. I mean, they had those kind of days there, right? Emergency room kind of days. Days of despair. More like Psalm 22 days than Psalm 23 days, if you know what I'm saying. But as they sat there, we sat in a little circle, and I thought, in my own head, I got this weird dialogue in my head. I'm thinking, because I visited a lot of hospital people and tough people, and so I can't help but get that out of my head. I'm thinking, man, either they have just figured out such a way to paint on a happy face that it is impenetrable, or they really are dialed in. And I'm here to tell you, I think they're dialed in. And when I say dialed in, it's not that they're unaware of the danger of the circumstances. It's not that they don't realize that God is the author of life and he could give or take that away at a moment's notice, which is true of all of us. They're not unaware of that, but they're sitting there in a hospital and they're talking about testifying to the nurses and staff about the shepherd. About the shepherd. And I looked at him, and I'm like, I kind of marveled at him, and I said, mainly to Heather, I said, man, it is so obvious that you are trusting the Lord right now in all this. I can't help but be kind of amazed. I said, and what amazes me is this, that I think in your own heart you can amen this, but I know this. I want to have what they have, but I want it ahead of time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to trust God, but I want like 50 pounds of trust, you know, pre-trust in my backpack before the trail gets rough. And what our conversation led to was, is that God's grace meets you at the point of your need, not ahead of time. Now, my confession is, I desperately want God's grace ahead of time. I want to know it's in the bag. I want to know what it feels like. I want to know that I can trust it ahead of time, before I get the bad doctor's report, before I have to go to ER, before a crisis comes. I want preloaded trust, right? But Heather smiled. And she goes, you know, she goes, that is dead on. She goes, every time we have needed God to show up, he has. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's not that they don't, by the way, it's not that I don't have wants. Because you're thinking, how dumb is that, Rob? Everybody's got wants that don't get satisfied. You know? He's not talking about those kind of wants. He's not talking about, Rob, you want a better motorcycle and you want to be 6'5 and you want to lose 40 pounds. Those aren't the kind of wants he's talking about. What he's saying is, I will never have a need that God doesn't want me to have. God will provide. I shall not want. If you're God's sheep today, if you know the sound of his voice, you shall not want. The baker showed me that this week. Continue to hold them in prayer. Let me pray for us as we close. God, we thank you for being our shepherd. A chance to know the voice of the shepherd, a chance to know the voice, the same voice, Lord, that created everything out of nothing in creation, who just made stuff with the power of his voice. That voice reaches out to us at Faith Baptist, reaches out to, Lord, just a little old me and says, Rob, I'm your shepherd. Follow me. Do what I'm asking. Do trust me. Lord, if somebody here has not or maybe has tried to ignore the voice of the shepherd, I would pray that you would call them to you today. We thank you for Jesus, who, again, as the Lamb is the shepherd, help us to follow him joyfully. And God, I thank you for the Bakers. And I thank you for what you're doing in them. Lord, we thank you for the healing and good report of this week. But even more so, Lord, I thank you for their impact on people who are watching them go through this and watching them follow their shepherd in a way that, frankly, from a world's perspective, doesn't make a lick of sense, probably. But they hear your voice. They hear a different voice. They hear the voice that matters. Give us that perspective today. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn towards you and give you peace. That was God's blessing to his people, to his sheep, as they were the original flock heading out of Egypt. May that be our blessing today. May experience God's shepherding this week. We'll see you next week in Psalms 27. 27, if you want to read ahead. Have a fantastic week. And don't forget reading. That's right.